Hare, brother and sister Wesley. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. February 13, 1900. Dear brother and sister Wesley Hare, I was much pleased to receive your letter stating that the difficulty Sister Hare has had is entirely removed. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. Monday, I returned home from a visit to Maitland. The work is going forward there. They have had one baptism and will have another, we think, next Sunday. We left Currumbong last Friday after dinner and drove 27 miles before sundown. On Sabbath afternoon, I spoke in the tent to a good audience. My talk was mostly the Word of God as found in the 14th and 15th chapters of John, upon the love of Christ being evidenced by the keeping of His commandments. Obedience to the commandments I presented as the Bible test for all who have had the privilege of light. I had perfect freedom. Sunday forenoon was occupied in giving words of counsel from the Lord to the workers, Elders Colcord and Hickox, Brother James and his wife, Sisters Wilson and Robertson, and Brother Goodhart. I devoted 3 hours to presenting the principles which we should cherish in our work in any lines. I felt the assurance that the Spirit of God was upon me. We then rode out about 3 miles to visit a husband and wife. The wife has received the truth. Her husband works a small farm and is employed in the waterworks. He has given up the use of tobacco and is about to join his wife in obedience to the truth. I never saw people more rejoiced to see us. They were so astonished to think I would take the trouble to call upon them. They gave us a large melon, weighing about 25 pounds, and several pounds of grapes. After conversing with them, I knew they were of the company the Lord had revealed to me, who were reaching out their hands, saying, "We are not fed. Feed us with the Word of God. We want light." And there stood one looking with intense interest upon several parties that were imploring, "Come and help us." He said, "These are sheep without a shepherd. Give them the gospel of truth. The ministers of the churches are not preaching the word, but are misinterpreting the scriptures. Preach them the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine." We had a precious season of prayer with this family and then left them rejoicing. We took dinner at the mission. I wrote a few pages and then had another long conversation with Brother Colcord. In the evening, I spoke to a goodly number from Isaiah 58. I will write out the discourse, and you shall have it. The power of the message of truth was like fire shut up in my heart, and I could not but give the message in living reality that we must take heed to the commandments of God. After the discourse, Brother Colcord invited all who wish to be followers of Christ to arise. I think everyone in the congregation arose to their feet. When they were seated, he asked those to arise who, after hearing this discourse, would take their stand to keep all the commandments of God. A goodly number responded by standing on their feet. Here, a victory was gained. A number had been in the Valley of Decision, but some of these souls were not able to be at the meeting. I retired to rest at 10 o'clock and was awakened by Sarah at 2 a.m. to prepare for our journey home. The horses were being harnessed to the buggy, and between 2 and 3 o'clock we were on our journey homeward. We made this early start in order to avoid the heat and dust. We ate our breakfast of bread and grapes within a few miles of home and entered our own gate at 8 o'clock. As soon as I reached home, Maggie said, "The American mail must go tomorrow morning." So I had no time to consider, but put myself to earnest work to prepare what letters I could for yesterday morning. Then I was told of a mail going to New Zealand Wednesday morning. So I was up yesterday at 2 a.m. and at 2 this morning. I praise the Lord that I was never in all my experience in better health or accomplishing more work. I cannot write all I desire in this letter, but I will write again ere long, unless a call comes from Melbourne, which I will have to heed. With heart and soul and voice, I praise the Lord for His goodness. I was surprised when I learned of your donation. I settled it that for the present, I must use the money to purchase a windmill in order to save my crops in the dry time. Brother James, my farmer, went to see the mill and get terms. Looking over my parched land, I could not see but that it would be right to use the means in this way. But Willie came in presenting the most urgent necessity to pay outstanding bills on the building for the health retreat. There was a bill for plastering, and the workmen demanded their money. They were outside parties, but had waited patiently. Our brethren were in dire distress and almost sick, considering the financial dearth. I said to Willie, "Yes, I will let the money go and trust in the Lord." Well, this morning there was thunder and lightning and a heavy shower. It is still raining lightly. This will help the crops, and the sun was just what was needed. We thank the Lord for His goodness, His mercy, and His long-suffering gentleness to us. We thank Him for the money which was so much needed and for the blessing of this long-needed rain. Some of the crops are beyond redemption, but some will be helped. I invest everything in the work necessary to be done in order to advance the cause of truth. May the Lord bless you for this donation. We thank the Lord that it came at the right time to pay some debts which we could not have settled without this gift. In much love.